As you know, Ribison and I are just back from Orlando again, right? We were at the Southeast Regional, came back for a service, went back to for the Rabbi's Conference to the same hotel. This time, we had, you know, it was the Rabbis and some of the Shamashim leadership, good time. Now, before we left, even as I was back there working on the computer's last Shabbat, to get some things ready, I scribbled a message, a title, idea on a piece of paper, and then left it here, so I forgot it. But you know, I remembered the idea. I may have forgot the paper, but I remembered the idea. And as we went to the conference, man, I got hit over the head over and over and over again with the same word. Now, I didn't remember. I might have seen what the theme of the title was for the conference of the rabbis, but I didn't remember it. But it fit exactly where I was going. The conference theme was overcoming. And I might have seen it before, but the confirmation I received was so strong about it. They took the first part of Revelation 12:11 as the scripture verse. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. We all know that we need to be overcomers, right? There's so much to overcome in this life when you follow Yeshua. There's the world. There's Satan. There's doubt. There's worry. Hey, there's even ourselves that we have to overcome. Our own flesh that we have to overcome. And each one of these pop up and try to remove us from the presence of Adonai. They try to take our eyes off the path that we're supposed to be walking or even actually running on. They try to trip us. They want to cause us to stumble and fall. Now, normally, I'd want to give two sides of every message. You know, talking about overcoming, I'd want to say, well, look, in Scripture, here it is where you don't overcome, and here's how you, here it is when it looks like you do overcome, and here's how. But today, I just want to concentrate on overcoming, on the results of overcoming. I want to spend time on that not feeling of failure. I want to spend time on that feeling of being an overcomer, not being overcome by our circumstances. Because we will find ourselves in circumstances that will make us feel like we're being overcome instead of overcoming. Now, an easy verse to see where we should be overcomers and how to be an overcomer is from the verse that I mentioned earlier that the Rabbis Conference took up, Revelation 12. So I want to read a bit of from Revelation 12. I'm going to start in verse 7, zoom through where they were in that full verse. Revelation 12, starting in 7. And war broke out in heaven, Michael and his angels making war against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought, but they were not strong enough, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his anointed one. For the accuser of the brothers and sisters, the one who accuses them before our God day and night, has been thrown out. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even in the face of death. We see here that those that are making war with Satan overcame their enemy by two things. And they're the same two things that we make war with here on earth against our enemy as well, Satan. The first is the blood of the Lamb, who is, of course, Yeshua HaMashiach. The second is the word of their testimony, which is the living out of in faith the words of Scripture. For the victory, they used faith in Scripture and applied the blood of the Lamb to the battle. This is what we've got to do as well. If we go to its battle on our own strength, then we are assured to fail. But with his blood and with the words that were given to us in Scripture, we cannot lose. There are two things that we must know before going into battle. The first is that there is a battle. How could we win the battle if we don't even acknowledge that we're going into battle? You may say that you don't want to fight, but you really don't have a choice. Once you follow Messiah Yeshua, you don't have a choice. The second is that as we go into the battle as believers, we must pay attention and to follow God's instructions. We must take hold of the Word of God and hold to nothing else. This is true especially in hard times. If we're to walk the path of Adonai, then we must be like the writer of Psalm 119, who said this, Psalm 119, got to scribble all the way down to 101. I keep my feet from every evil way in order to follow your word. I do not turn away from your rulings, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet is your word to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get discernment, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed to observe your righteous rulings. I am severely afflicted. Keep me alive, Adonai, according to your word. Although, like the psalmist, we may at times be or feel severely afflicted by the enemy, it is by walking the path of Adonai, by keeping to the truth, that we are kept alive. There will be times that we're hurt and we need that reassurance that he is with us. We can and must always say that he is always with us. He loves us. We are his, and although I'm not saying that we're his pets, we can learn a bit from our pets. Have you ever seen one of those videos, and they pop up on Facebook quite a bit, about the dog who's in the shelter, and maybe he was abused in the past, and as soon as someone approaches them, they whimper and they go back. They're sad, they're low energy, they don't want to be touched. But after time with a new family, they start looking better, physically start looking better even. They let themselves be touched. They let themselves be soothed. And then after some more time with their loving master, they're joyful and they're happy again, full of energy, playful, running around the yard, acting like a puppy again. This is what some of us are going through. We've been hurt. We may not even want to be touched. But by his healing touch, we will be healed and rejuvenated. If you don't think of yourself as a puppy full of the Lord's energy, then you need more time with him to be soothed and to be loved on, to be renewed and changed back to what he created you to be. He created you to be that energetic puppy full of love and running around with him, not pulling back, not being scared. We're not to fear when we have Adonai with us. But we also can find ourselves with the need to be built up even when we're in his presence. We can find that we have some faith and belief, but at the same time, we don't have full faith in order to go into that battle that we need to go in. Think about Mark 9. In Mark 9, a father brought his son to Yeshua for healing. He brought him because he had some faith. Look at the interaction between him and Yeshua as Yeshua asks the Father what that evil spirit does to the Son. Mark 9:22, starting there. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion and help us. If you can, Yeshua said to him, it's kind of, if you can, don't you know who I am? Don't you now know my power and authority? Yeshua says, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. Now the father had shown some faith in just bringing the boy to Yeshua, but he still needed further building up in his faith. We can also have faith, but still need some help in building up our faith. There's nothing wrong with going to the Ruach for the faith that's required for being built up. There's nothing wrong coming forward at the end of a service to be prayed with, to be anointed, to be prayed over. This is how we stand together. This is how we do our battle, right? We sung that in our time. This is how we do our battle with him, together with him. This is how we stand together. It is then that we will hear Adonai say this from Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, 10 and 11 says this, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all who were angry at you will be ashamed and disgraced. Those who quarrel with you will be as nothing and perish. The call from Adonai through the prophet Isaiah is that we are not to fear when we're with Adonai. We're to look at Adonai and not allow the circumstances to affect the way that we see Adonai, but allow Adonai to affect the way that we see our circumstances. Those who quarrel or fight with you, and sometimes that's your flesh, can fight with you, will be as nothing. He defeats all those who do not line up with the Ruach. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, points out this in Romans 8 with verses that most of us know. First Romans 8, 28, and then we'll skip down to 31. Now we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purposes. What then shall we say in view of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? If he's in battle with us, who can stand? This is how we do fight our battles. It's not a new covenant idea. Paul, Rav Shaul didn't just come up with it on his own, not even by the Ruach. He read it in Scripture. Psalm 9, starting in 10, or 9 if you're reading English Scriptures. Adonai is a stronghold for the oppressed, a high tower in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust you. For you, Adonai, never have forsaken those who seek you. Now the New King James Version says Adonai is a refuge. Is a refuge, which is a place to run to when it feels like there's pressure that you can't stand on your own. He will be the strength that you need. This is his love that he has for all of us, regardless of who we are. If we are in him, with him, trust him, believe him, then he will keep us in those times of trouble. It doesn't matter what you think yourself. You may see that you may think that you're surrounded, but I'm surrounded by him, right? Doesn't matter what you think yourself. You just need to know how he is, who he is, and who you are in him. You are one of his creations, and he feels the same about all of those that he created. We're told in Psalm 145 about his creations and how he feels about his creations. 145:8, Adonai is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. Adonai is good to all. He has compassion on all of his creatures. We each have to recognize that Adonai is the one who is good to all. To all of his creatures. He wants to be kind and compassionate to all. It's up to us, each one of us, to know we are one of his. Is it this microphone that's clicking? You want me to go to the handheld? Okay, I'm on two. We have to recognize that we're one of his and that he will therefore show his goodness to us. He will show his goodness. You are his, so he will show you his goodness. You can't say that often enough. He will not allow you to stay in a place where you're feeling overwhelmed by what's surrounding you. But instead, we have a God who wants to make our ways right and easy. This is what we're told in Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in Adonai with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He not only loves you, but he cares about you. He not only cares about you, but he wants to make your paths straight. Straight paths are easy. Unless you're on a motorcycle, you enjoy straight paths. And it's not that he holds out the way and that we have to jump like it's a hoop that we have to get through. It's not a trick. It's not a prize that we have to win. He is more loving than that. He shows chesed love, loving kindness, and more towards each one that he created, and he loves us all. How do we know that Adonai is with us? And what do we have to do to feel his loving kindness, his chesed? One of the places that we see the answer to this is Psalm 46. Listen how easy it is for each one of us. Psalm 46:11. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in all the earth. Adonai Tzitzvaot is with us. The God of Jacob is our strong tower. We have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to be still and know that he is God? Being still is being in faith. Knowing that he is God is giving it all over to him. Acknowledging that he has that one and only exalted place on the throne so that he can do it all in our lives. Now, there are times that we'll have to mobilize and fight with him. Absolutely. But there are also times that we just have to trust him. Trust that what he says in Exodus to the nation is what he also says to you when it comes to time to fight. But you're tired. You feel overwhelmed. When the nation was leaving Israel and leaving slavery, I bet they were tired. The army was chasing after them. The Egyptian army, that's a big army, was chasing after them in chariots. Those were like today's tanks. What did Moses say to them? Although they were scared, tired, and perhaps overwhelmed. Exodus 14:13. Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of Adonai, which he will perform to you today. You have seen the Egyptians today, but you will never see them again. Ever. Adonai will fight for you while you hold your peace." This is what Adonai does. This is how we fight our battles. Not just once, but over and over again for Israel and for us as well. Moses told the people on the run from the army that they would not see, that they would see salvation of Adonai on that day, that they would not see the Egyptians again, but they would see the salvation of Adonai. And look what Adonai says through Isaiah to Israel about their future days with Adonai. Isaiah 43:1. "But now thus says Adonai, the one who created you, O Jacob, the one who formed you, O Israel." This is what Adonai says to Israel, and this is what Adonai says to you. "Fear not, For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Regardless of the trouble you find yourself in, or you believe that you're in, he is right there with you. I don't mean to be Pollyanna about this. You know, everything's good. Everything will be fine as long as you're with Adonai. No, that's really not it. There's going to be pain. There are going to be things that you're going to have to do that you may not want to do. You may want to forget all that you're going to be facing it. But we can say that Adonai will walk and fight with us as we go through it. We know it because he says it in the scripture to us. Like in Psalm 91, starting in verse 14. Because he has devoted his love to me, I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he knows my name. When he calls on me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show my salvation. You want a piece of scripture that you can substitute your name in to help you get through times of trouble? Because he has devoted his love to Larry, I will deliver him. I will set Larry securely on high because he knows me. He knows my name. When Larry calls on me, I will answer him. Put your own name in there. I will be with Dale in time of trouble and rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy Mary Ann and show my salvation. That's where you can use scripture and pray through scriptures. We don't know exactly who wrote this psalm. It's thought that it was a temple priest, but through it, Adonai states a truth for us to take hold of. It says, because the person or the nation has devoted his love to him, that Adonai will deliver them, will deliver us. Adonai will deliver, protect, and be with them in times of trouble. Not only will he be there, but he will rescue and honor. What does it mean to devote love to him? It is a love with a whole heart. When you set your whole heart upon Adonai and love him, then he will also set his whole heart upon you and love you and protect you and honor you. Do you find it hard to believe that the same God who created all things, including you, including me, including everybody, would so love you? Well, it's true because he said it's true. If you have a hard time to believe that Adonai never lies, you'll have a hard time to believe that Adonai is for you, or that you can depend upon him. We have to believe and trust him if we are to get through those hard times because of him. We also need to understand and trust and believe who he is. We have to know and understand what the words trust and believe are. These two words, really, they kind of lean on each other. They're interdependent upon each other. When we define them, first let's define believe. The definition of believe is to be persuaded of, and hence to place confidence in, to trust. So it's not just knowing of or about something, it's being persuaded that it's true. So someone can tell me for $5 you can get a really excellent meal, and they may believe it. I may believe that they believe it, but I'm not persuaded by it. I know it takes me at least $50 to get an excellent meal. I can get McNuggets for $5. It's not an excellent meal. For $50, I can get an excellent meal because I'm persuaded by my experiences that I need no less than $50 for that excellent meal. You guys may eat cheaper than I do. Maybe you eat more expensively than I do. So to believe means that you know, understand, and accept the truthfulness of something. You know it, you understand it, and you accept the truthfulness of it. Now let's define trust. To trust is to believe in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of something. So when it comes to trusting God, that means believing in his reliability, believing in his word, believing in his ability and his strength to do all things. The scripture says that God cannot lie. That's why he's always kept his promises, that he loves you and is good, has good in store for you, regardless of what you, how you think you're surrounded. Trusting in him means believing what he says about himself, about the world, and yes, about you as well. As believers in Adonai, Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, we may feel that our trust or our beliefs waver in some situations. Oh, this is so bad. The problem that we're actually having is we're putting more faith in our emotions than our faith in him. We cannot let our emotions rule our lives. How do you overcome our emotions? We bring them to God. We bring them to Adonai so that he can help us address them. He is not disappointed. He is not frustrated by the struggles and doubts and pains that we go through. He cares about you, and you can trust him with these things. In fact, he already knows them. There's no use trying to hide them from him. God already knows how you really feel. God already knows what you really are thinking. He knows your circumstances and how they're affecting you. Psalm 131, starting in verse 1. Adonai, you searched me and know me. Whenever I sit down or stand up, you know it. You discern my thinking from afar. He searches you and knows you better than you know yourself. It says, whenever I sit down or stand up. You can also say, whenever I'm low in my faith or high in my faith, you know. So what you're doing is when you don't bring your emotions or your feelings to him, you try to hide them, what you're really doing is lying to yourself and to him. No, God, that doesn't bother me. He knows. We have to make the choice to have faith in what he says, even when your feelings, emotions, or circumstances would have you believe something different. Your feelings and circumstances matter. Don't get me wrong. They do count for something. But they're not worth paying attention. They're not worth, you shouldn't just ignore them. But don't put too much faith in them. God cares about both your circumstances, your emotions, and your faith. But those things alone are not reliable enough to base your life and faith in Adonai on. They can change at any moment, even in an instant. God, on the other hand, does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and therefore is worthy of your trust, your faith. So what are the practical ways to get through the hard times in our lives, if not by emotions and feelings? There are three things that we're told to do. Four, when you count the one verse about what not to do. Four short verses, really. And most of us already know them. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at 15. See that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. That's the first. Rejoice always. The second. Pray constantly. The third. In everything, give thanks, the fourth, for this is God's will for you in Messiah Yeshua. Four steps. The instructions for us are not for when the times are good. They're not for when the times are bad. They're not for even the middle times and you just don't care. They're for all times. First, what not to do. Don't let your emotions or feeling drive us to repay evil for evil to anyone. We're to control our actions by controlling our emotions. For some, it's easier than for others, but that's why we're to bring our emotions to him, to Adonai. Yeshua tells us to not repay evil with evil when he says this in Matthew 5:38. You've heard that it is said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist the evildoer. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him also the other. And the one wanting to sue you and to take your shirt, let him also have your coat. Whoever forces you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Yeah, but Adonai, do you know how it feels when someone hits me? Do you know what it's like to have something stolen? Do you know what it's like to be forced to do things I don't want to do? He knows. Now, in fact, if you read that whole section of the Sermon on the Mount, you'll see that much of it is actually resist your emotions and feelings and do what I tell you, instead of what you're telling yourself to do. Even when the evil is doing it's just to be evil, even then? Yeah, even then. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't need to keep yourself in that situation, constantly being hurt. But you are to forgive. Move on. And get yourself out of that situation. Yes, absolutely. Forgive and move on. But don't repay evil for evil. Sometimes that just makes me go, but I want to. Those are my emotions. That's my flesh flaring up. That's just talking and acting out. And we are to rein these in and control these things. So if we're not to allow our flesh to act out, what should we do? Remember what we just read, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18a. Rejoice always, pray constantly, in everything give thanks. Rejoice always, pray constantly, in everything give thanks. Say that with me. Rejoice always, pray constantly, in everything give thanks. That can be a mantra. It's something to say constantly, especially when you're going through the hard times. Rejoice always, pray constantly, in everything give thanks. The instructions from Adonai through Shaul are short. They're simple, but they're hard. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. When? Always. When you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, when you don't feel like you feel like it. It doesn't matter. We're called to do these three things instead of allowing our own emotions and feelings to run wild. What if I keep them just in myself? What if I don't expose them to other people? What if I only feel it within, but I don't let other people know I'm feeling that? They affect you and your relationship with Adonai. And therefore, you need to keep them in check and rejoice, pray, and give thanks. There's another issue with allowing emotions to either not burst out or fester within. Have you ever heard the saying, birds of a feather flock together, right? I can't say how many times I've seen this to be true. When you allow emotions and hurts and pains to simmer and to fester within, you'll find yourself with other people in the same boat, having the same feelings. It's good to be with other people who feel the same thing, feel the same hurt. We're able to just kind of cuddle up with them and say, we've been hurt. We don't deserve this. The problem is you continue the cycle. When you're with other people with the same hurts, there's no one there to break the cycle that you're in. You need to get out of it and not allow yourself to fall into the trap of surrounding yourself with people who are only feeling the same and will not help you out of that situation. Now, I'm not saying that the groups that are together are no good, because they're normally run by someone who has broken the cycle and will help you get out of that cycle. But it's those groups of friends that people seem to make, where you all have the same hurt, and there's no one there to help. We have to surround ourselves with the Ruach and with other people who are filled with the Ruach who can help us. It's the Ruach who will help us out of any situation of emotions and feelings that we find ourselves in. Remember, it's not what we put into us. It's what He puts into us. So regardless where we are, He is the same and will put good into us. Our only part in this equation is that we're there and that we trust him. We only need to be present in spirit and faith and trust. And the truth is, when our spirit and faith are low, his never are. It allows us to see things other than the downside when we give thanks. It allows us, right? Giving thanks, even if it's not the thing that we're suffering through, I'm not saying give thanks for that, but when we give thanks, it allows the flowing of the Spirit to open up. It allows us to see something other than what's right in front of us in the physical or emotional. You know, we don't, like I said, we don't even need to give thanks about the situation that we're in. Just give thanks about small things. It'll open up a pipeline. It breaks the lies of the enemy that everything is bad and everything is wrong. It allows us to go forth, but even when we force ourselves, when we don't feel like it, we allow better things, better thoughts to come to us. Look what the author of Lamentations say in chapter 3. Lamentations 3:21. This I recall to my heart, therefore I have hope. Because of the mercies of Adonai, we will not be consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Adonai is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. Your own words, even when you don't feel like doing things, will help your heart recall the hope of Adonai in your life. The compassion, the mercy of Adonai is going to be recalled when you start reading scripture, reciting the scripture out loud, recalling the good things he's done for you in the past, his faithfulness. When we can see what he's done in the past, our faith about what will happen in the future is strengthened. Two final thoughts before I close, which may seem a little cliche in reality, but they're true. We must remember that as much as we try to make things work out the way we want them to, according to our feelings and emotions, it is Adonai who will have his way in the end. His ways, his teachings, his corrections will always come to fulfillment in the end. Now, you may delay the results that you desire, that he desires, but you cannot change them regardless how you feel about them. We may know the end of the book, but he knows every page and every word of that, the book of our lives and of the world. We may not like what's going on, but if we can trust in him, then there's no reason to act on our emotions. And so many people act on emotion, whether it be in politics or their own lives. They're acting on emotions most of the time. Someone said to me about something that's going on, and he says, don't you think we should do something about this? I says, do you trust God? He says, yeah, but. I says, do you trust God? Yeah, but. Do you trust God? And what did he do? I don't think he trusted God. I bet Shaul had some real emotions about the things he was put through by men around him. But look what he said about the things that were happening. Romans 8:18. For I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared of in the coming glory to be revealed to us. We should all know this and believe it is not just about Shaul's life, but our own as well. What's going to be coming is so much better than what we have now. Don't put too much worry and emotion into what's going on now. The second and final point is that we need to give our attention to what's worthy of attention. This is really so important. I got to say, people, this is really important because you will become what you will pay attention to. Focus on problems. The problems get bigger. God gets smaller. You become part of the problem. Our lives become the problems that we perceive instead of becoming more like the God that we want to know better. We have to place Adonai over our feelings and emotions and press into Him, pressing upward towards Him, not giving up. We have to do His will and not ours. When the going gets hard, don't just get going to Adonai. Father, we just thank You and praise You and honor You that we can come to You when our emotions are high, when our feelings are high. We can come to You when we need the help, not just with the situations, but we need help in dealing with the situations within. We know that You can deal with those things, and we're going to let You deal with our emotions as well. Ruach HaKodesh, come upon each one of us and help us with those things that we're hiding and those things that are open. Help us with our emotions and feeling. Help us with our trust and faith in You. We thank You and we praise You. And everyone said, amen and amen.